Today on Locked On Rockies, making an unfortunate concession to the Arizona Diamondbacks.
You are Locked On Rockies, your daily Colorado Rockies podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into a Locked On MLB podcast crossover. I guess that's technically what we call ourselves. We're all on the MLB network, but I am Paul Holden, your host of the Locked On Rockies podcast, and we are gearing up for a little crossover here with Millard Thomas. But before we do that, I want to remind you that your favorite Locked On podcast is free and streaming on your favorite streaming service. Just search Locked On Rockies, search Locked On Diamondbacks, and you will find the show. You can also find us on YouTube, Locked On Rockies and Locked On Diamondbacks. Your subscription is a big time help. And you're going to check out a great crossover diving into the best teams in the NL West, the juggernauts. I mean, the two cream de la creme teams of the NL West. We're talking Rockies, we're talking Diamondbacks. Let's bring in the one, the only Millard Thomas, host of Locked On Diamondbacks. Always fun, always great. Mm-hmm. We always have a blast. And Millard, I have to start but with an apology. Oh, I came in guns a-blazing last offseason. The Rockies make one of the biggest splash moves in free agency. I said, mm-hmm. You know what? They might not be great, but they're going to beat one team. And that one team in particular is going to be the Arizona Diamondbacks. And that was not the case at all. The Rockies finish, six games behind Arizona in the NL West. And if I recall correctly, it felt like multiple times that the Diamondbacks no hit or near no hit or one hit the Rockies. And Millard, so I want to start here. What went right for Arizona? I know people might sit there and say, Arizona, what went right? This was a huge upswing in terms of where the Diamondbacks were in 2021 to get here. And a lot of these prospects, a lot of these young guys are really exciting.
Yeah, for the D-backs, I mean, in terms of a win total, they had a big increase because going from like 50 wins to like 74 wins is a huge increase there. But still, at the end of the day, the D-backs were still the fourth place NL West team. So I'm not going to get too high on my horse over here, Paul, just because you thought the Rockies were going to be better than the D-backs. But for the D-backs this past season, I think what really led to all those wins is you look at guys like Zach Gallen, Merrill Kelly, look like two legit frontline rotation starters. You got guys like Christian Walker that had a great bounce back season. Gold Glove first baseman, near 40 home runs. Guys like Dalton Varsho, elite defensively, home run power, can steal some bases as well. He had breakout seasons from the Jake McCarthys of the world. I think the D-backs just had a real influx of young talent come through their system last year with the Jake McCarthys, some guys in their rotation. You had Alec Thomas get called up. You had Corbin Carroll get called up. Like, the D-backs are seeing some of their top prospects from their minor league system finally matriculate to the major league level, and they're actually showing that they might be better than what we originally thought, than our original expectation for them. So this D-backs team is young, they're prime, they continue to grow, they're continuing to build, and a couple of right moves in the offseason this year and next year, and I don't think this team is too far away from being a legit playoff contender.
I wish I could say the same in Colorado, but the one thing that at least that seems very similar, the Rockies bought into their prospects at the end of last season. And I think that's something that we haven't really seen. The Rockies turned over and said, we're going to get playing time to a lot of these young guys, Eloris Montero, Sean Bouchard, Michael Tolia, all of these players looking to be the future. But right now, it's hard for me to sit here and say I can confidently believe the Rockies are close. I mean, add some pieces, Chris Bryant coming back, maybe, but I can't say I'm holding the same confidence as coming into our conversations before the season, before the 2022 season. So what does it take is it just a couple more pieces? Do you expect the Diamondbacks to be aggressive to get to that contendership this year? Or do you think the D-backs kind of understand a little bit more about how top heavy the NL West is, and their plan is working out right now, and they're okay with just letting things play out?
Yeah, I think the D-backs are going to add to this roster and continue to build, but I don't think they're going to go out there and make like a championship or bust move. I think they're going to make moves that are win now, moves that can help you make the postseason within the next couple of years, but I don't think they're going to go out there and sign like the Aaron Judge of the world. This is not a championship or bust roster. This is like, we're like a slow cooker. You just want this thing to marinate right now, Paul. You got all these young players. You just want them to marinate, continue to get better. And then all of a sudden, that's when you go out there and you pounce in the free agent market. There has been some rumors that the D-backs have expressed interest in the likes of like a Xander Bogaerts, but I find that kind of hard to believe. There's also been rumors that maybe they are interested in a guy like Evan Longoria. I can see that as a realistic option. A veteran, slightly above average, definitely old, but still could give you some production, still could be a platoon guy. He's not going to be out there every day playing third base, but a platoon guy with Josh Rojas, I can see the D-backs going that route. I think they're going to add veterans who are quality, but not going to clog positions of need where you have a young player coming up. You're just going to have these bridge gap players until like the Jordan Lawlers of the world come up through the minor league system and for the Corbin Carrolls of the world to really matriculate and turn into the great player that we think he can be. So for the D-backs, the biggest thing this offseason really is the bullpen. The bullpen has been the biggest weakness for this team the last couple of years. Like, if you look at last year's numbers, if the D-backs had a league average bullpen, they might have been a wild card team last year with the league average bullpen because their offense was just good enough. Their starting pitching was just good enough. It was the bullpen that really held them back. So for this D-backs team, they're not going to go out there and make championship or bust moves, but I think they're going to make win now moves and moves that can help them make the postseason within the next couple of years. And so I kind of want to throw it back to you now, Paul, because this Rockies team is something that I'm really confused by. So I just want to ask you, like, after the season that you just had, after last offseason, like, what's the state of the Colorado Rockies and what direction are they trying to head in? Because the tune coming out of last offseason is this roster is championship or bust after that Chris Bryant signing.
It continues to be the Rockies front office buys into this mentality of they are contenders, yet they haven't been close since their back-to-back postseason appearances in 17 and 18. They're blurried by this idea that they're still competing with a Dodgers team that's won 111 games and a Padres team that went out at the deadline and added one of the best players in baseball. The Rockies are making moves, which is something that's encouraging. There's momentum and movement from the Rockies, but when you're going through and seeing what the Rockies do, they're going and getting a Suter from the Brewers. They're trading Sam Hilliard for another relief pitcher. They're at least doing stuff, but there's nothing that's, whoa, Chris Bryant. But that's the big question mark for next year. When Chris Bryant was on the field, the limited time we saw, he was impactful. He wasn't necessarily MVP great, but was he an improvement to the Rockies offense? Absolutely. He didn't hit a lot of home runs. In fact, didn't hit a single home run at Coors Field in the entire season of 2022. Mind you, I don't think he even played 60 games last year. I think he topped out in the 30 to 40 range. Yeah. And, so, you know, that's really part of it. That's the big question. But so now the question isn't what can Chris Bryant do? It's what can Chris Bryant do and will he be healthy? For me, I think the Rockies can take two approaches in this offseason and we'll see if it actually means. If they truly think that they are a contender, you need to go get one of the big premier outfield free agents right now. Mm. You need to go and get Brandon Nimmo. You need to go and get Cody Bellinger, one of those two. Or here you said you're crazy out of the blue. The Colorado Rockies should get Aaron Judge, right? Oh. I mean, to be totally honest, right? There's really no reason for the Rockies not, I mean, other than, of course, the financial thing. But The Momfords own a good chunk of Denver. They have a great deal there. The Rockies are a top 10 team in attendance, and they are 30 games out. We've talked about this before. People that might have tuned in the pod know this. I do not buy into Denver being a small market. Arizona has their market and that stuff, but that is it's not Denver. Denver is one of the premier hubs of I think the United States right now. It's grown so much. And the Momfords are right downtown. And the stadium is full. It might not be full of Rockies fans, but it's full. And so if you really think that you're a contender, you need to make contend now moves. And guess what? The Rockies might – the pitching, you might have to figure that out, and you don't have the depth in there. But you know what? We're going to hit Aaron Judge would hit, if he hits 60 home runs in New York, I mean, is it crazy to think he'll hit 60 again in Colorado? I mean, to replicate that, that's awesome. That would be a huge shift for the Rockies. But realistically, I think they might stick with Jonathan Daza and stick with some of these prospects that they have coming up, because they got a lot of entertaining and exciting prospects. But I wanted to circle back on one thing, I think, for the Rockies, Millard, and I want to get yours, what you think about this, especially as someone who's seen this player here. But if you want to get in on the action of the world of sports and betting, I mean, Millard, you can attest to this, over the holidays, there was so much sports. I don't think we've ever seen, we had football, we had basketball, we had World Cup, we had everything going all at once.
Hockey?
Yeah, hockey, that's right. Everything going on all at once. And if you were at betonline.net, you could have bet on it all. They would have kept you up to date, and they still keep you up to date for your info, your stats, your news, and analysis. You can find the latest odds and trends for every professional and amateur league out there, from football, basketball, soccer, and even esports, folks. That's right. Call of Duty, League of Legends, all that good stuff. They got it all at betonline.net. They're the fastest and easiest way to get your betting fix at betonline.net. That's the website you can head to today. You can use your mobile device as well to head to betonline. Betonline.net, where the game starts. Millard, more realistically for the Rockies, though, I think they should go for Bellinger. I think this Bellinger wanting a one-year deal, what's really the harm? The Rockies have a few outfield prospects. Zach Veen is screaming through the system. They need to piece them together. If Cody Bellinger still doesn't hit that well, he's an elite defender and will help the Rockies play. That's a huge plus at Coors Field. And I think playing in an environment that is more hitter friendly and not the pressure of the Dodgers would be great. And I'm curious, would you, hearing that a player like Bellinger wants a one-year deal, do you think that might be, is it worth it for the D-backs to go for the reclamation project that is Cody Bellinger? Because let's be real, I don't think Bellinger stays with either one of these teams. If he has a good season and bounces back, he goes for the team that offers him the best deal and the best chance to get back to the World Series. But I'm just curious if Bellinger might be something that the D-backs would look at.
Yeah, for Bellinger to the D-backs, I'll probably say no. He is an Arizona kid. He went to high school out here, so there is connection there. But the D-backs are currently loaded in the outfield. They currently have too many outfielders. They actually have a logjam out there, and all of them are also left-handed. So the D-backs are probably the worst team for Cody Bellinger to go to, because all we have is left-handed outfielders. But for the Colorado Rockies, I did a crossover with Sully a couple weeks ago, and we were doing best landing spots for Cody Bellinger, and the Colorado Rockies were on my list, because I feel like for Bellinger, he needs to go someplace that's a low-pressure environment. I know the Big Monfort thinks it's championship or bust, but I think the fans know it's not championship or bust around here. So for Bellinger, you could go in there, and what's a better place to try to find your groove as an offensive player than Coors Field? So for Bellinger, he can go out there, he can be probably still hit in the middle of the order, be between the 3 and 5 hitter for the Colorado. Yeah, and there'll be no pressure on him to perform. So I would actually love him to go to the Colorado Rockies and take him away from another NL West team in the Dodgers.
And it's the other thing too, that kind of he's got, where the Rockies actually new hitting coach. They're going to try to address the Rockies offense has been one of their biggest struggles. One of the biggest issues for the Rockies is going on the road and their inability to hit on the road. But Bellinger, I think, like you said, come to this environment, and yeah, Dick Monfort, he would be pumped, because guess what? He gets to say, my outfield, I have Chris Bryant in left, MVP. And then in center, I have MVP Cody Bellinger. I mean, it's a win-win for him. I mean, he gets to go out and parade to all of the people. Look at this. Oh, and we got and Brandon Rogers just won the gold glove. Ryan McMahon was just nominated. The Rockies have so many things that they can just bury, you know, the glaring issues that are with the team, because there are enough interesting things and coming up. But for me, I think the Rockies, a one-year Bellinger deal, it doesn't get in the way, because if he's bad, you move on and you have your number one prospect, who is an outfielder, Zach Veen, and plus, like you said, also a logjam. And I think if the Rockies sign Cody Bellinger, they could package up a deal and move on from some players to clear up space to go with their prospects, because there's really four big prospects for the Rockies next year that I think are going to see a ton of playing time and maybe even being starters. And it's Aleris Montero, it's Ezekiel Tovar, it's Sean Bouchard, and it's Michael Tolia. Out of those three, Montero came over in the Nolan Arenado deal, basically the one of the key pieces out. And same with Tovar, I believe, came over in that deal too. Tovar, the Rockies are moving on. Jose Iglesias has elected free agency and is not going to be back with the Colorado Rockies. He performed way too well. He can go help a team that's competitive who needs a shortstop that can just fill in there. Jose Iglesias was honestly undervalued last year. He was great and would have been a great thing to trade at the trade deadline. The Rockies might be going with a rookie at shortstop and saying, here's the keys, here's the future. Same with trying to get Montero in playing time. And if you go Bellinger in center, you have Jonathan Daza, who played really well, who's going to struggle for playing time unless you move him over to right field. But that also, if you move him to right, you could trade Randall Grichuk, you could trade Jonathan Daza. And of course, you're still sitting there with CJ Krohn, who's also a trade piece there at first base to help that, like you said, bullpen. The Rockies aren't going to sign big name pitchers this offseason. They've made deals and they've been able to do what you've seen, kind of these low level deals to build up this bullpen that desperately needs any help it can get. But that's how you get better talent in your bullpen, I think, if you're the Rockies, is moving players like Krohn, like Daza, that maybe they're not going to blow anyone out of the water, but you can get a solid left-handed arm from Miami for a CJ Krohn and a Jonathan Daza. Miami, the Marlins would love a CJ Krohn and a Jonathan Daza. They can't hit anything down there. So why not take those two that are both players that could do it and the Rockies can get a deal? So I feel you. Do you see the Diamondbacks making any moves this offseason with their log jams or anything? There's a couple of things I see with the Rockies, but I'm curious if you see the D-backs making any moves.
I promise you, if you go to Peter Pratt and propose CJ Krohn for like Pablo Lopez, he does that deal in a heartbeat, because every day on Twitter, I see him doing fake trades for Christian Walker of the D-backs. I'm like, we're not trading Christian Walker, but CJ Krohn, he's been on the market for a little bit and he would be interested. Interesting in Miami. But for the D-backs, answer your question, I mean, they have the logjam at outfield, like I talked about, and I think they're going to explore the market. I think a lot of teams are calling the D-backs for one of those young outfielders. But if I'm Mike Hayes, if I'm the D-backs front office, I field the calls. I see what value my outfielders have, but I still think it's a wait and see. I want another year to see Alec Thomas, to see if that bat comes around, because he showed he could be the best defensive center fielder in baseball, but the bat needs to prove a little bit more. Jake McCarthy was a breakout star last year for the D-backs. Maybe star is a little too strong, but he was a breakout starter last year, had a really good season. So now the D-backs kind of have like four outfielders for three positions. The DH is going to help a lot with that. But I just want to wait and see. I want to see if it was a fluke year from Jake McCarthy. Alec Thomas was one of the top prospects in the organization. I want to see how much he can get, how close he can get to his ceiling. So for me, it's a wait and see this year. And then maybe next offseason, you reevaluate your pieces and you think about maybe there's a deal on the table that will help make my team better. But for you, Paul, it sounds like the Nolan Arenado deal, it sounds like you might be coming around a little bit more optimistic now that those prospects are getting a little bit closer to making it to the major league level. Yay or nay?
You feel better about it because Austin Gomber wasn't it. I don't think that really was ever, I guess we know now, whatever, if the Rockies truly believe that Austin Gomber was an elite enough pitcher at the caliber of a player that Nolan Arenado is, he hasn't panned out that way. But now I think we're seeing, if Tovar and Montero can do what they're capable of, we can finally feel better, because the void of what Nolan Arenado left is being filled. You have elite gold glove caliber defense in Ryan McMahon, who I was kind of surprised was a gold glove finalist last for there. He actually really, I mean, he had more errors. By his standards, it was a down year, but then when you look at the numbers, he was still elite. So the defense is there. If Montero has great offensive potential, I think, and Tovar is supposed to be the stud. He is supposed to be the next Tula, you know, by what people say and the looks at him, he is supposed to be your Trevor Story, your next Tula, another great shortstop for the Colorado Rockies. But here's the deal, Millard. Remind me who was a runner up for MVP this year. I think Nolan Arenado was there and he only lost it because his teammate was better. Barely.
And where did his teammate come from?
This is what I'm saying. Yeah. These are generational players. I hope that Tovar pans out. And if he's a generational player, great. But until the Rockies and these prospects and this team and this organization get back-to-back playoff appearances, it won't feel good. I will not feel like the Rockies were in a better position to win and get closer to the World Series trading Nolan Arenado. I really don't. I think if the Rockies took this new mindset they have of actually making moves and buying in, they're not, and I know I say this as they made no moves at the deadline, but the Rockies were literally inactive in the offseason while Nolan Arenado was there. At least right now, the Rockies have added three pitchers. They made the first trade of the offseason. It's not a ton, but it's something there. Nolan Arenado is a once-in-a-lifetime player. Hopefully Tovar or Montero is one of that. But until those players develop that, I'm really never going to get over it, because I truly believe in an alternate world, the Rockies are at least in the World Series with the core foundation of team that they had. Had they bought in, went a different direction instead of Ian Desmond and Daniel Murphy, and they actually were able to convince an elite pitcher to come and bolster their rotation. Because if you had a dominant starter come in with how, what we've seen, the capabilities of Germán Márquez, Kyle Freeland, Antonio Senzatella, and John Gray at that time, that's at least enough. And I think that offense had some fire. If the Rockies had CJ Cron, they don't get swept by the Brewers at least. And there's just so many what ifs in my brain that go through that there's still so much to come from that trade. But on the flip side, two really legit prospects that could be the left half of the infield of the Rockies going forward, and that can be great. But just like I'm sure you feel with Goldie, I mean, all the stuff that's building around the D-backs is great, but we were both in the playoffs. The D-backs just knocked the Rockies out of the playoffs in the wild card not that long ago.
No, and then we were like, let's trade our franchise stars away. And when you trade your franchise star, you're never going to get back the return of value on those players. Like, when you go back and look at, like, major league trades and deals, like, the teams that trade away the franchise star usually don't get that blue chipper back. It's usually those other secondary deals that land the Fernando Tatises. Like, when you go back and look at the Marlins, when they blew up their whole outfield, the Yelich, the Stanton, the Marcell Ozunas, the best package they got back was for Marcell Ozuna. It wasn't for Christian Yelich, the two-time MVP, basically, the Giancarlo Stanton, the MVP and home run king. It was for Marcell Ozuna. They got back, like, Sandy Alcantara, like, Zach Gallen in that deal. Like, they got back, like, freaking studs in that deal. I don't remember exactly they got back, but they got back like two or three legit like all-star level players, and you would have thought Yelich and Stan would have been the one to return those deals. So as fans of the Rockies and D-backs, we probably put too much eggs in prospects baskets. Like, if the Corbin Carrolls and the Jordan Lawlers don't work out, like, I don't know where you go as a D-backs fan, because like, that's the future, that's where all our hope is. And if those guys don't work out, like, what do you do when you're in our positions as fans? Because like, we're trading away our franchise stars for prospects that aren't that good, and the prospects that we do draft and try to develop, if those guys don't pan out, then I really don't know what you do as a franchise. Because I always have the philosophy, like, there's really no small market team, at least in baseball. You could argue basketball or football, but in baseball, no salary cap. Literally anybody, any player will sign with any team. They don't look at LA and the Dodgers and they're like, okay, the Dodgers do have a little bit extra interest for when it comes to attracting free agents. But if the freaking Cleveland Guardians are saying Aaron Judge, he has $400 million for 8 years, Aaron Judge will sign with Cleveland tomorrow. He does not care. If the Yankees offer Aaron Judge less money than Cleveland by a significant amount, he will go to Cleveland. Most major league players just go to where the bag is. We saw that last year with Colorado. No one thought they were going to get Chris Bryant, but they ponied up a 7-year bag for Chris Bryant. They were able to get him. So I always hate the whole small market thing, because you should never trade away your franchise star if you're a small market team. You should always add to them, because I think that's why it was so confusing with the Rockies last year. It's like, why would you trade away Nolan Arenado just to sign Chris Bryant like a year later? That's what I think really confused everyone from that deal. And I'm sure you beat that to a dead horse already.
Yeah, it was just every move after the trade. It didn't make sense. If you're trading Nolan, you trade Trevor that year. You trade you trade Kyle. You blow it up. If you're not going to build around Nolan freaking Arenado, then how are we supposed to believe that you're going to build around these other players as well? But like you said, I mean, I hate dwelling on it, but it is just such a thing. And now, of course, in my sports fandom, I got to deal with another one of the worst trades of all time. That's a whole different conversation. Millard, I want to kind of steer the conversation.
I got a quick question for you talking about free agents, just because I think this would be a fun narrative. I brought him up earlier on the podcast, but talk about Xander Bogaerts to the D-backs. But we know he's the Boston Red Sox shortstop. the ties and the connections don't seem like they're too strong with Boston right now. So we know Boston last year stole the Colorado Rockies shortstop. What about the Rockies now stealing Boston's shortstop and going after the better of the two in Xander Bogaerts, who's coming off a career year if you care about F war? Meanwhile, Trevor Story, he hit home runs and he stole bases last year. But outside that, not too much of a productive year for Trevor Story.
Well, it's because they should have had him play shortstop where he's supposed to play. That's why I was always frustrated with that move. I was excited he was going to Boston. And I was like, but it's just like these people think, for me, you asking him to change positions, it goes through your mentals. But anyway, I just don't think the Rockies want to invest crazy in shortstop because Tovar's right there. He can't. Okay. He played for the – it's not like he's sitting in the minors and it's will they, won't they. He was called up and had wasn't the longest, but finished the season with the Rockies last year. So I really think if the Rockies wanted to fill more time for shortstop before handing over at least Tovar being the primary one there, I think they would have tried to go after Iglesias, or maybe they still are, because like I said, Jose Iglesias was very solid for the Rockies and one of the few Rockies players that could hit on the road last year. One of the rare cases where his home batting average was less than his road batting average for the Rockies. One of the very rare examples of that. I think the Rockies are prime for Tovar to be there. They also could move Ryan McMahon to play shortstop. I think Ryan McMahon should stay at third base, but Elias Montero is supposed to be a third baseman, so it's what do you do with him as well? They could move Ryan McMahon to short if they feel Tovar needs more time or something of that nature, and then Montero's there. So the pieces to fill for shortstop are there, especially with waiting for the prospect being a shortstop. He is number one overall. I believe actually Zach Veen might be over there, but he's two, Ezekiel Tovar. So I don't think it'll be a Xander Bogaerts thing, and I think you'll see a lot more from Trevor Story next year. But Miller, to close out here, to one final question here, something that I was really excited about. I can't wait for the balanced schedule. And I think it's better for baseball. I think it's better for fans of teams like ours. I've lamented the fact that the Rockies finished last year with six straight games in LA. Now, that's really a rarity. I know like no other every time I've told that to people, they're like kind of shocked. And I know that wouldn't happen again. But I don't need to see the Rockies play the Dodgers 20 times or however many times it is in the season. I'm so excited to be able to see the league and for the league to see the Rockies. And I'm curious your thoughts on that as well.
Yeah, I actually was just looking up the D-back schedule real quick because I think you just reminded me. I do think there was a point last year, too, where the D-backs had to play the Dodgers, I think, five straight games because there was like a there was like a rain delay that they made up and it was like a doubleheader. So they had to play them in like five straight days technically. But yeah, I don't know why it took so long for baseball to get to this evenly balanced schedule. I don't care about the divisional games, really. I don't care that we play each other like 19 times or however many times it is. I just care about how we never had more than like one interleague matchup a year. Like that's the part that blew my mind watching baseball. I'm like, there's double the amount of games in baseball compared to basketball, but basketball plays every team at least 2 to 4 times. Baseball, why did it take so long when you have series? You're playing a team for 3 straight games. How are we not able to see every team in Major League Baseball? Why is it like 7 years between the D-backs playing in Yankee Stadium and the Yankees coming to Chase Field? Like that was always the most ridiculous part, I thought, when it came to the MLB schedule, because you have so many games. You're making these players and fans watch 162 or play 162, and it doesn't even happen against every single team. I don't even care about like the competitive standpoint or anything like that. It's just the fact that I don't get a chance to see Mike Trout in Arizona every year. Like that part makes absolutely no sense to me.
The product is going to be much, much better. And I know we could go a whole nother pod on Millard's love of the 162 game regular season, yes. But we'll save that. We got a long off season, so I'm sure this won't be the last time, but I think this is going to help the game. I think when you're looking to how you market your players, you nail it. People are actually going to be able to watch Mike Trout. What's cool about where I'm at, I'm on being in the Pacific Northwest, is I've gotten to see Shohei. And it's great. And I've kind of hopped on the Mariners bandwagon a little bit too, because they're a fun and exciting team, but they get to play all these teams I never saw. Folks, I know maybe with the Dodgers, they are going to lament the fact that they don't get to play the Rockies and the Diamondbacks as much, but it's so much better when you don't have a month of baseball and you look and you're just like, great, the Rockies play a whole month of baseball and they finish, because this was how the end of the season. you're burnt out from a really long, frustrating season as a Rockies fan. And then you finish with San Diego, San Francisco, and LA, you know, and you're just like, great. Teams that are not only better or have great history against us recently, but it's San Francisco. It's the same team again. And it's like, you know, it's like, and I'm sure I'm sick of playing the Diamondbacks a million times. And it's like, every time I'm like, oh great, the Rockies going on the road to Arizona. They're going to start something. They're going to go out. They just played a great series. Didn't the Rockies just win their first series at Chase Field since it opened this last season? I think that was one of the things I talked about this year. So it's so nice. The Rockies are going to be here. I'm going to go be able to watch them a 3-game set here in Seattle. And it's just so much better for the game. But Millard, this won't be the last time we cross paths over the off season, as we're going to be talking Rockies. We're talking Diamondbacks all off season, all the time on the Locked On Rockies and Locked On Diamondbacks podcast. Millard, where can they go so they can stay up to date with all things with the Rockies? The Diamondbacks are the Rockies' rival and the Padres. Get that out of here. The Giants and the Dodgers have way too good of a record. But when I get the fire of rivalry baseball, it's Dodgers. It's Diamondbacks.
I just hate all you NL West teams. I just hope the D-backs with all y'all. Well, you can follow me on Twitter, personal account, @CreatorThomas24. Follow the show account. Just look up Locked On Diamondbacks, both Twitter, Instagram. Just type it in the little search bar. And please hit subscribe on the Locked On Diamondbacks YouTube channel.
I am at Paul Holden 33 at LO Rockies. If you want to follow the show, Locked On Rockies on YouTube. Yes, the subscription, folks. It is a massive help to us. And for Millard Thomas, I'm Paul Holden saying so long from the Locked On Podcast Network.